sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Amen. It's the question that's often asked in the run into Christmas. If you regularly listen to the radio, I'm sure you've heard them talking about it. Who will make it to Christmas number one? Well, we've been looking at what is in many ways the very first Christmas number one. It's one of the very first songs associated with the birth of the Lord Jesus. It's the Song of Mary. And it's worth recapping some of the story, the backstory to this song. For Mary, it all starts in verse 26 of the chapter. She's probably not even 15 years of age when the angel Gabriel comes to her with a very special announcement that she would conceive without the help of a man, that God himself would create in her womb a child, but not just any child. This child would be the Savior of the world, the Son of God. It's a remarkable message. Mary doesn't waste any time
in going off to meet her wise relative Elizabeth, who herself is carrying a miracle baby, John the Baptist. And as soon as Mary greets Elizabeth, the baby inside Elizabeth jumps for joy. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she blesses Mary. And it seems that their conversation with each other removes all trace of doubt from Mary's mind, because it's then that Mary bursts out in praise. It's now that she sings her song. On Wednesday evening, some of us gathered as we sought to prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. We thought about verses 46 to 49 on Wednesday evening. We titled it, Praise for God's Personal Dealings with Us. God's Personal Dealings. Because those verses, 46 to 49, they're full of Mary speaking about what God has done for her. She says, my soul, my spirit, my Savior, he has done great things for me. And that's where we began, thinking about this sense of amazement and wonder that Mary has, this overwhelming feeling that God should love her, that he should send her his son for her. And we were challenged by that, weren't we? Her attitude too of humble lowliness. There's this great sense of who am I that I should receive the mercy of God. And then this morning, we looked at verses 50 to 53, where Mary praises God for really his general dealings with his people. She moves from the personal to the general, how God relates to people in general. She steps back. She's able to see the bigger picture, how he works from generation to generation. She's able to see that God's way is totally different from our way and from the ways of the world. How he lifts the lowly, he lowers the mighty. That's what we were thinking of this morning. Now this evening, we come to finish off the psalm, looking at verses 54 and 55, calling it Praise for God's Faithful Dealings with Us. We have 2 points this evening. The first is something of a sweeping glance over the whole song. And then secondly, we'll look specifically at verses 54 and 55. So firstly then, the first thing we want to see this evening is that Mary knows her Bible. Mary knows her Bible. Her song is only 10 verses. But those 10 verses are full of the Bible. That is the Old Testament, which would have been Mary's Bible at this point in time. And it's clear that Mary knows her Old Testament exhaustively. From verse 46 to 55, we get all sorts of references to the Old Testament, allusions to many of the Psalms, Psalm 34, Psalm 103, Psalm 22, Psalm 147, Psalm 98. We have passages like Job 12 mixed in here as well. But above all, we are reminded of the Song of Hannah, which we read, 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we remember how Hannah prayed for a child and how God worked miraculously and wondrously in her life, providing her with Samuel. And it seems, doesn't it, that Mary is reminded of the song that Hannah sang at that time. If you were to compare the two, there are some striking similarities. As someone has put it, Mary is not only pregnant with child, she is pregnant with Scripture. She knows her Bible. It just rolls off her tongue. And you know, there are some writers, some commentators, and they're not worth reading, really. But they tell you that Mary couldn't possibly have written this song because it's too full of the Old Testament. They say it would be impossible for Mary to have this kind of knowledge. Well, I think commentators who write those sorts of things, they've never been to a simple prayer meeting made up of ordinary people. People who know their Bibles and who in their prayers can cite great chunks of the Bible in their prayer. Because that's precisely what Mary's doing here. She's putting together in poetic terms words that she's gathering, phrases and thoughts from all over the Old Testament. J.C. Ryle says, "She gives expression with her lips to what has been treasured in her heart. And what has been treasured in her heart is God's Word, the Holy Scripture." She clearly knew these things off by heart. She clearly knew that the storyline of redemptive history. How does Mary know her Bible so well? Well, is it not great testimony to her parents? Does it not indicate that she's been raised to love the Word of God? It's not an encouragement to parents. It's not even a challenge to parents this evening. Here's a little girl who, when she was very little, from her earliest days, she's been going to church week after week, gathering with God's people in the synagogue. She's heard the scriptures read. Is the knowledge that she has, is it not down to the fact that over and over again she's heard the scriptures, again and again she's heard them explained? Is it not down to the fact that she's made the effort to be found in places where the Bible was being opened up? This young woman, she's consciously made the effort to store up God's Word in her heart. In her short life, she has soaked up so much of the Scriptures. Isn't that a vital principle for us this evening as we seek to live the Christian life? Should we not know our Bibles? And not just to cram our heads with a few facts, not just so we can ace the Bible round in a quiz. No. So that our hearts are taken captive by the Word. It's vital that we know our Bibles, so that when the joys of life, or I think more so when the crises of life hit, and we're in autopilot, it's the Bible that shapes the way we think, and it's the Bible that shapes the way we speak, so that it's informing how we live and pray, so that it's informing how we weep and how we endure. This young woman knew the Bible to such an extent so that when the time came for her to respond to Elizabeth, she knew just what to say because it came right out of God's Word. And doesn't that in and of itself give us a guide to prayer? This woman, she's just praying God's Word back to God. She knows enough Scripture to pray it back. And you can't really go wrong praying God's words back to God. But it needs to be in our hearts before we can pray it. And this is what Mary shows us here in this response. The Scriptures just flow from her heart. Will you make it a resolution this evening, friends? It's not too early to make resolutions just yet. Will you make this resolution? I'm going to know my Bible better. I'm going to make a greater effort to store it up in my heart. What about our young people this evening? Some of you not far off Mary's age. Could you not make every effort to learn more of the Bible? Don't tell me, older folks, it's too late for you. Don't tell me you can't do it. You can do it. What if I was to offer you £1,000 for every verse you could memorize in the next 7 days? £1,000 for every verse. Now, you could start with the small verses, but I think your attitude would improve. I think your ability to memorize would remarkably improve. But friends, any money that I could offer you, and there's no money offered, but any money I could offer you would be nothing in comparison to the value of having it stored up. Mary was poor and uneducated, but she had this wonderful treasure of knowing the Bible. If you pricked her, she would bleed Scripture. I wonder if you or I were pricked, what would we bleed? Football statistics, gardening knowledge, TV trivia, cooking recipes, or would we bleed Scripture? It's not too late. You can do it. When Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, which is a memory system, when he became a Christian in 1926, he was driving a truck in Los Angeles. While driving, he would work on memorizing a verse a day. A verse a day. During the first 3 years of his Christian life, he memorized 1,000 verses. And if he can do that, 1,000 verses in 3 years, if he could do that, could you not learn 12 verses in a year? Could you not stretch to 52 verses, one a week? The Bible should be our book of books. Whatever else we read, whatever else we love, the Bible should be our book of books. And what an impact it would make in our prayers and in our lives. If we had it stored up, if we knew it better, especially when it comes to the traumatic events in our lives, the painful events and the confusing events. If our minds have a store of Scripture, think of how we'd have the words, we'd have them ready to pray to God. Mary shows us exactly that. She knows her Bible. Mary knows her Bible. That's something of an overall look at the song. Looking then at the last two verses, we want to see, secondly this evening, Mary knows God is faithful. She knows God is faithful. Focusing on verses 54 and 55 now. Those verses read, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Now, what's Mary talking about in these final words? Well, we should remember that Mary is a Jew. So is the baby whom she is carrying. They're of the line of Abraham. And that helps us to understand this note with which she ends. Because Mary is referring here to the covenant God made to Abraham back in Genesis 12 and 17. She's thinking of promises that God made long, long ago. And Mary has the faith to believe that at this moment in time, those promises made to Abraham, those promises are being fulfilled in herself. Right now, in her womb, she's linking her pregnancy to God's covenant promises back with Abraham. It's as if she's saying, "Lord, you're in the process of fulfilling what you promised to Abraham, that through one of his descendants, all the nations of the world would be blessed. God, you're doing this here and now." And for whatever reason, you have chosen to fulfill that promise through me. And we're again back, aren't we, to the wonderful knowledge of the Bible that this young woman had and how she applied it to her situation. Mary knew her covenant theology. She knew that God had a single plan drawn up in eternity, and he was working out the redemption of his people. She knew these words of promise given to Abraham. And so when the time came and the angel gave her the message from God, Mary just joined all the dots, immediately linking what she's experiencing to the covenant promises with Abraham. And it's extraordinary faith. To us, we might say, oh, that's quite natural, Mary, come on. You know, that's fairly common sense. But think of what Mary was going on. All she had was the bare word of God. And yet she believed it. Yet she believed it. She believed the word of the angels. She believed the word of the scriptures. And so that when she's coming to singing this song, she's singing of her faith in God's word. She knew God is faithful. She knew God is faithful to all of his promises, and that even though 2,000 years had passed since his promises to Abraham, she knew God hadn't forgotten. And she knew that what God had promised, he would fulfill. Now, do we believe that? Do we have the same faith that God would fulfill all his promises? Mary's showing us what it's like to trust in God. Do we believe his promises, that he's fulfilling them all the time, right before our very eyes? Do we take him at his word? Because that's what saving faith does, you know. It believes the promises of God. That's how the Christian life is to be lived, believing the promises of God, believing that God will do what he says he will do. And one lesson then to learn from Mary is to lay firm hold of God's promises, to know them in the first place, but then to believe them in the second place, and to trust in them. Because we're walking through life by faith, aren't we? Facing whatever comes to us, we're living by faith, but that faith leans on the promises of God. And those promises can bear all the weight we place upon them. We can lean on those promises with total confidence, because we'll find, just like Mary, God always keeps his word. And you know, the fulfillment of this promise, the coming of Jesus Christ into the world through Mary, that's nothing less than the guarantee that God will fulfill all his promises. This fulfillment is the absolute proof of God's faithfulness to all of his promises. Not one of them will ever fall or fail. We should think about that. That Christmas, the incarnation, it should remind us God always keeps his promises. Christmas is the proof he keeps all his promises. So how do we know that he will work all things together for the good of those who love him? Because he fulfilled this promise. How do we know we can cast our burdens in him, knowing that he will care for us? Because he fulfilled this promise. How do we know he will be with us always, even to the end of the age? Because he fulfilled this promise. The incarnation is the supreme example of God's faithfulness to all his promises. It's proof that he keeps his word. Now, he doesn't always fulfill his promises immediately. It took 2,000 years for the promise to Abraham to be fulfilled. He doesn't always do it in the way that we would expect or think, but he does it. He will never fail to do it. Here's this young teenaged girl who knows the scriptures, and she believes the scriptures. She knows the promises, and she believes the promises. She's laid hold of them, and she rests on them. And she knows that her God is faithful. And those promises fill her thoughts and fill her heart. So, friends, as we reflect on the Lord's table, as we think about the coming Christmas season, we could do with being a little bit more like Mary. We could do with knowing our Bibles better. We could do with knowing more that our God is faithful, so that then we could say and we could join with Mary, "My soul also, Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Amen.